The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 11th, 2014. Today is Veterans Day, and we want to wish all the veterans here and not here anymore the very best, and thank you for what you do for the country, the United States of America, still the best place in the whole entire world to be. So, we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, we're the best. Our motto, obviously, is we don't try, we succeed. And today, more than ever, that should really ring true in your heart. But one thing I love talking about is a new thing with us is we are the stewards of strength. We are the gatekeepers of physical culture. And before today is Tuesday, and if any of you haven't heard of him before, we have my regular friend Roger Lapointe on. He's the president of Atomic Athletic. And before I bring him on board, we've been doing a series the last few weeks. This is the third week, and it's called From the Neck Down. The first week we covered traps, rhomboids, shoulders, etc. Last week we went into the wrist, forearm, hands, fingers, and we're going to do this for the whole body. So today we're going to talk about bicep and tricep training, and this is going to be a very charged show because I'm feeling very charged today, I can tell you that. So, Raj, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, and let's kill this show today, big time.
Excellent, excellent. And don't forget that first show we did the neck, starting
right, the neck.
Right,
I'm sorry.
At the the top of the head, you know, mm-hmm. It going right down from the occipital where all the big neck muscles start off. It's, so we really did start from the top down. We did last week, we did the lower arm, meaning everything from the fingertips to the elbow. And today we're going to link that in with the upper arm.
And just before we hit the upper arm, I want to tell everybody, I've got pictures of the Husafell stone all over my house, out in my garage where I train. There's a small one cut up. I got it in my car. This is the land of concentration today, too. I just looked to my right, and there it is staring at me. Next year, man. Next year, we are going to be bigger than ever. All right, Raj, let's go.
All right. Let's go. Yeah. For those of you who get my Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin, that's my free email newsletter that I've been doing for over 15 years now. Yesterday, because I was getting psyched up for this show today, I pulled out a photo from the 12th issue of Strength and Health magazine that I have. Now, it literally October 1932, okay? And what you had there is you had Dick Bachtel, you had what are the other guys' names? It doesn't matter. If you guys read the bulletin, you know who I'm talking about. Mitchell, the other guys will come to me. I probably should have pulled that issue up
so that
I could have it there. But it's the photo that really says it. And I've got the whole caption underneath that tells what they're doing in it. But I'll tell you, you've got these four guys, and they're in – they say in the grounds of the York Barbell Club, meaning they were behind Hoffman's house, which – was literally this small mansion on a hill. And he had this sort of field area where they actually trained outdoors. Mm-hmm. And the the four guys each have dumbbells, meaning one dumbbell in each hand, different weights, and you've got one guy with a globe dumbbell, it looks like a Milo, duplex probably, and the other three guys have different weights of plate-loaded dumbbells, right? And they're kind of in a bent-over row position, one-handed, but not quite. But if you read the caption, you can tell they're getting ready to swing these dumbbells between their legs, right? So right. A dumbbell yep. swing?
Yep.
Because they're playing a weight tossing and catching game.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Where with four dumbbells. So yep. simultaneously, they're going to throw these dumbbells to each other and catch it with the other hand. So you've got a whole heck of a lot going on there. And yep. if you've never done weight tossing and catching, the effect on your arms is like nothing you've ever experienced before. Sig Klein even wrote a book on the subject, which is basically the training manual that I worked with Andrew Derniot on for his barbell and kettlebell juggling routine. And, of course, there's also dumbbell tossing and catching. And guys do plate tossing and catching, too, which is also fantastic. Now, I've mentioned in the past that I do some kind of biceps work every time I lift now. Mm-hmm. And I try to vary it up.
All right, before I just want to interrupt you for a second. So you just made the statement of I do bicep work now pretty much before everything you do.
No,
everyone's going to ask.
Not before everything I do.
Okay.
I do it every single workout.
Okay. But you know right now what's going off in everybody's head is, okay, why is Roger doing that? So you elaborate, but tell everybody out there, Rog, why you feel it's pertinent to do that now.
Well, there is a very specific reason. And
okay.
You and I have probably talked about it, whether you remember it or not. There was a period of time as an Olympic-style weightlifter that
right.
I had absorbed the urban myth that Olympic lifters shouldn't do biceps work.
Yep, I remember. Yep.
And
go ahead.
I did none. The only biceps work that I did was whatever I got out of my Olympic lifting. So, and believe me, if you're doing Olympic lifting, you're getting some biceps work. It happens. You know, you're doing your snatches, you're doing your pulls. Even when you're doing your presses, if you're doing it the right way, you're not just getting biceps brachialis. You're getting the whole arm. But
right, and if I can interrupt you for a yep. second, I was of that same modal, or I guess same belief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if it was the reason or not. I blame that a lot on why I tore a bicep.
Well, it...
And I'm not saying I had weak biceps, right? But,
right.
And I don't mean to run over you here. But what I'm saying is this. I don't go for any of that crap anymore that the bigger exercises are going to make it strong enough. You know, as the old saying is, they'll take the biceps for a ride. I no longer believe that. If anybody asked me right now, and that's what we're talking about here, is biceps at the moment, I would say train them. Don't overtrain them because they are – you know, no one ever talks about the arm is a hinge to me. And think about everything your arms are doing with every single weight movement you engage in. I don't care if it's a squat. You got to hold the damn bar behind your head. It doesn't matter if it's a front squat, whether you grab it with your hand – you know, whether you're grabbing the bar with your hands and doing a front squat or you're crossing your arms. There's – you cross your arms. Anybody that's never crossed their arms doing a front squat, feel the pull on your biceps there alone. But that's all I want to say, Roger.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer now. and you and I have talked about this, and I think this is very beneficial to the audience. Train the biceps, train them smart. You don't have to do 500 sets, okay? You go in and work even one or two super, super hard and as heavy as you can move it, that is going to give you hopefully the less likelihood of any type of injury. So
well, yeah, and it,
right. I mean, do you agree with what
I 100% agree.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and for me to say that I did no biceps work, that's not true. I was doing full body exercises like you're talking about. Yep. I was just doing no specific biceps work. It was when I got into stone lifting while I was already at York that I started realizing, wait a minute, there's a limiting factor here, and the stones, specifically the stone balls, are what helped me figure out what that limiting factor was. And the limiting factor was that was my biceps. And it seriously took me until I'd been doing Atomic Athletic already, and I'd been stone lifting for almost 5 years at that point. And, it, you know, at that point, I was actually able to lift a 100-kilo stone ball weighing about 150 pounds. So, you know, I was doing 70 pounds over body weight already. Yep. So, and as somebody who's a shorter guy, I'm only 5'3". And I am of normal proportions. You know, sometimes you see these guys that are incredible deadlifters because their proportions are wrong or something, and they've got arms that hang down to their knees, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you see me in a photo and there's nothing to compare me to in the photo, you say, oh, you know, he's 5'10", he's whatever.
Right. Exactly.
So what that means, though, when you're stone lifting with a ball, is by the time I get up to about a 200-pound granite ball, I can't lock my fingers around that ball. In fact, they're barely touching at that point. So I'm getting no help from the grip of my hands on each other. You know, you see a lot of these guys in the World's Strongest Man contest, and they're, you know, 6'6", 6'7", and they're, you know, they're grabbing the other hand around the ball. I wish I could do that. So the little bit of history here in me doing biceps work, you know, some kind of specific biceps work every time I train, is it comes from Bill Pearl. I went out to Bill Pearl's place, and I had met Bill when I worked at the York Barbell Company. I picked him up from the airport for a documentary that we did on the Hall of Fame, which, total aside, Eric, we need to do a show on the York Barbell Hall of Fame.
Dude, I do that, and we can do it. When we're done with this, we'll do it. Or we can do two shows if you want a week. I don't really care, Roger. You know how I'm feeling today we talked off air. I'm like high voltage today, really hard voltage, and you and a few other people here understand what motivation and muscle is.
Yes.
And we're going to spread physical culture. We're going to burn this whole place down to do it. So if you want to do another show, I don't even care. This week we can do it. We can do it at night. With you, we'll do it. I'd love to do.
In a perfect world.
Yep.
It would take some technological work for us to be able to do this. Yep. There are a couple travel shows that I would like us to do. Like, I'd like you and I to be able to travel to the York Barbell Hall of Fame
and do a show. Maybe they let's do a show right from there.
Yes.
Oh, that would be dynamite.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got to you know what's going on a personal level. If we can
the other one,
big things.
The other one that I want to do, which is similar, yep. is I want to bring you up here
yep.
to go to Doc's sports retreat, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doc is Dr. Bob Cejeda, who
yep.
was Norbert Szymanski's protege.
Yep.
And Dr. Bob was one of the top 10 110 kilo lifters in U.S. history, according to Dennis Reno. Right. You know, this is a guy who clean and jerked 200. So, you know, he clean and jerked
yeah.
440.
Yeah.
In drug tested competition,
yeah,
you know, because they were seriously
insane.
Drug testing by the mid 80s.
No, I'd love to yeah. come up. Look, it. You know the agenda. I've got.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff offline. We're going to talk about
cool.
too.
Very cool.
For next year, but I'll tell you this. You know, here's the agenda. You know, I'd love to go to these play. I'd love to meet you in York and do a show. It'd be dynamite. Depending on how much we can develop this show even more, but we can do one between you and I right now whenever you want to do it. It doesn't have to be on Tuesday, number one. But, you know, I've got to do some stuff next year. I mean, I want to hit a place in California. I want to hit Iceland. I want to hit, and a year from now, I would like to end up being in Scotland for the invert. Now, am I going to be able to get the Denny's too? I don't know. It all depends what's going on with everything, but it's going to be a very busy 2015 as we keep developing the show and products. And
well, this show has so much potential, Eric, and
well,
it is getting so big, and people are talking to me about it. As you know, I had the Reuters thing that I did on Election Day.
Correct. Correct.
And honestly, I was up for 22 hours straight, something like
yep.
that. So the next day I felt like I had a hangover. I'm somebody that actually
yeah.
needs my sleep. It's
yep.
and I'm finally feeling normal again. But, you know, back to this biceps thing. So I'm at Bill Pearl's place, and I asked him just – off the cuff, because we had a couple things that we were working on, and those are included in some of the DVDs that I sell, pullovers and neck work and stuff like that, and some memorabilia stuff. But I asked Bill, I said, you did all-round lifting, and you were a performing strongman. You know,
yep.
Bill did his strongman act when he was in India. He did his strongman act to a crowd of over 20,000 people.
Dear God.
Yeah. I mean, he was the real deal. You know, he's tearing license
oh, yeah.
plates and blowing up hot water bottles and
yep.
all that kind of good stuff. So I asked him, I said, I'm having difficulty with my stone lifting, and I don't know why. And he said, well, Raj, you're an Olympic lifter.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, I shouldn't have any problem lifting a rock. And he says, no. You're not a bodybuilder. The reason Franco and Lou did as well as they did in the first World Strongest Man contest
yep.
against these other guys is not because they had a bigger squat or a bigger deadlift. It was because of full body development and the balance of being a bodybuilder. And if you looked at their arms compared to the other guys there,
yep.
they actually had overdeveloped in a classically physical culture sense, overdeveloped biceps.
Yep.
And the thing about biceps when you're picking up odd objects
mm-hmm.
is they are your weak link.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, yeah, I know I don't really do biceps where he says, no, not just on you, everybody. They're my weak link. They are Franco's weak link. They are Norbert Szymanski's weak link.
Yep.
Because they're small muscles. They're, and there's a lot of torque on that biceps tendon.
Yep.
So you've got a small muscle, a lot of torque, and when you're lifting a stone ball, you've got your arms in probably the worst position you could from a biomechanical perspective. So what he did is he said, "You bodybuilding results." He said, "Nobody is opposed to having a better looking body."
Right.
But he said, "I know with you, with your Olympic lifting, size and bodybuilding looks and things like that are a secondary concern." I said, "Yeah, you know me, Bill." And he said, "What you need to do is approach your biceps work like your leg work. You need to do heavy weights and holds. And especially when it comes to the stone lifting, with the bigger stones for you where you can't link your fingers together, it is a static hold for you. So do static holds and do negatives." Today, one of my favorite biceps training exercises, and I don't do it more than once a week, especially if I'm doing stone lifting that week, is the cheat curl with a negative. And, you know, a lot of guys say, "Well, a cheat curl isn't going to really make your arms that much bigger." I'm not doing it for the curl up. I'm doing it for the negative.
For down.
It's so that I can hold that stone in that position for as long as possible. And the reason I do it as a cheat curl is because I want a weight that's heavier than what I can do with the contraction motion. So I'm getting up more than what I could normally have the biceps contract up. And I'm resisting it all the way down, you know, so that it's actually painful. And I only do two reps.
Right.
I do a little bit of warming up because you don't want the, but the, basically I'm warmed up already because most of my biceps work, that specific biceps work, I do at the end of my training program. Unless you count the Indian club work as biceps work, which if you've got your hands in the presentation position in front of you with the club sticking up, you're obviously doing biceps work. So,
well, let me make, I want to make 2 points here. I'm going to hit on 2 things that you talked about, which is real interesting. As you and I both know, I'm more into the thick bar stuff than using standard stuff. Look, I used the little York short bar I got from you 20 some years ago. It's awesome. I use that more to warm up now. I've got curling bars. I've got with you
Real
all
quick
that
question
stuff.
Question about that, Eric. And
what's that?
About that first bar?
Yeah.
And I just want to confirm something because that leads into another exercise that I want to talk about later.
Okay, we'll do that. But you know the bar I got when you were at York, I got that for my nephew, and he, you know,
it's the one with the chrome sleeve on it, right?
Yes, sir. The one you can't get anymore. Right. I wouldn't give that thing. You'd have to put a pistol to my head to get that out of my hands, and you still might not because I might be able to swing it and take your head off. But here's two things
Dead
quick.
Walking Dead style, right?
Here's two things quick. I like doing in the power rack, obviously, taking the bar, setting the rods at I'd say half range when you do your curl. Now, obviously, pulling, you know, pushing against, you're doing your curl and you're pushing that bar as hard as you can against there. And like you're talking with the negative coming down. That's one of the big things I do. And here's the thing how people tear biceps a lot of times, lifting spheres especially. You have to approach that thing almost like you're doing a deadlift, really, because you want to straddle that thing almost. You want your ankles almost touching that stone. Do not bend your arms when you go to lift that stone. Have your arms straight and locked out and use your hips and lower back. And obviously we know now from talking with the upper back how much upper back you need to lift a stone. I have right now really developed a program that I'm using for the stone to develop the upper back like I've never had, and the neck. Roger knows what it is. We've talked offline. We've talked a little bit about it here. Down the road, when I've got it all proven, which I think already I have, we'll turn the beast loose. But if you train and pull spheres like that with the arms straight, and you know, dip down like you're doing a deadlift, and explode it off the ground, the likelihood of a bicep tear is going to be minimized quite a bit. Now, could it still happen? Absolutely, but anything I've studied and looked at with tears, with lifting stones, it's normally because the elbows, everything was not locked out. You had your arms basically bent, which puts the bicep in a bad position. That tendon is in a very, very bad position there to basically explode. I have experience with this, I know. Be very careful. Do not try to come off on one side with a stronger arm. You do that, that's what kind of happened to me in Iceland, and I tore the arm.
Well, and that's an awesome point there, Eric, because you're exactly right. You know, I'd been stone lifting for a number of years already when David Webster came to the Night of Strength 2 or 3, and I got talking to him. By the way, guys, if you ever have a chance to meet David Webster, he'll tell you he's old. He's a really old guy at this point. He's the guy that you see at World's Strongest Man contests and like the World Muscle Power Championships and that sort of thing. The little old Scottish guy wearing a kilt.
Yep.
And he worked with John Paul Sigmarsson, right?
Yep.
And who had gone down to actually train with the Basque stone lifters in Spain so that he could win the World's Strongest Man contest and actually learn stone lifting from the best stone lifters in the world.
Yep.
And David and I were talking about the technique, and he actually had me slightly modify my stone ball lifting technique to hit exactly what you're talking about there, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I had already been to the National Basque Festival and filmed that, but I went back to my films and studied them, and I was like, oh, you know, I missed that. He's right. That is the body position that you need to have to get this right. And, at this point, and the biggest stone I've lifted as far as a stone ball goes is a 253, which, you know, is actually somewhat of a disappointment to me because, I would really like to lift the inverse stone.
Ah, there you go.
And
you can go over next year with me.
I am 10 pounds away from it. So,
oh, cool.
It's, you know, that's something that, you know, that's, I want to be able to hit that at some point. We'll see. But the biceps thing, what Eric is saying is very important. But here's another little thing I want to hit on, and it's the biceps work for tall guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with Andrew Derniot about it at one point, who, if you guys have ever met Andrew and have a chance to talk to him, he is the most wonderful, down-to-earth, easygoing guy you will ever meet in your life. And when you see him from, you know, 20 feet away, you'll be like, that dude's a world record holding lifter and stuff. He looks like a tall, skinny guy. Well, he used to be a tall, skinny guy. Now he's just tall. I believe he's 6'3", but he's one of these guys that has a narrow bone structure and a long yep. bone structure. He was a collegiate lacrosse player. So when you look at him, he looks thinner than he is because you get up to him and actually look at his bone structure. He's got a huge bone structure as far as the bones and joints themselves.
Yep.
But he does have that long and lean look where it looks like he does not have big biceps.
Mm-hmm.
You get close to him and, yeah, they're big biceps. But because he has these longer-looking arms, it's yep. not unlike Slim the Hammerman. You look at Slim the Hammerman, and Slim the Hammerman doesn't look from 20 feet away like he's got any biceps.
Right.
You have Slim do a biceps shot for you. He's got some serious biceps. But when he's relaxed, it doesn't look like it because the bones in his arms are so long.
Yep.
That does not mean that tall guys can't get big arms or shouldn't do biceps-specific work, even biceps isolation work. Do it. Guys like Ernie Pickett, he's a guy that you don't hear much of anymore because he was a I think he went to the world championships in 69 as an Olympic mm-hmm. lifter.
Yep.
He may have been at the 68 Olympics. And, you know, I think he was top 10 in the world. This is a guy who I believe was about a 450-pound clean and jerk.
Yep.
Ernie is a tall guy. Well, I think he's passed away. I'm not certain on that, but I think he passed away a couple of years ago. But when I met him at York, and he just came in, and as the Olympic lifting advisor, they called me down, hey, there's some lifters here that want to talk to you about the museum. I was like, cool. I'm like, it's Ernie Pickett. Oh, my God. And I'd heard about him for years and seen him in the magazine, and I believe he was 6'5 or 6'6 and built kind of like Lurch from the old from the
yep.
Monsters.
Yep.
It, a little better looking than Lurch, but
yep.
you know, huge shoulders. I've never seen anybody with shoulders like this.
Yep.
You know, his shoulders were really genuinely squared off. Even I met him, he was in his 50s,
yep.
you know, mid-50s, and no longer lifting at that point. But at that height, I remember seeing pictures somewhere of him doing some just impossibly heavy biceps curls mm-hmm. with an Olympic bar. And when I say impossibly heavy, I think he was genuinely doing like 100 kilos
that's nasty.
For reps. And yeah, he was a super heavy, but he wasn't one of those big fat guys.
Yeah.
He, you know, at 6'5 or whatever he was, you're not going to be anything but a super heavy in Olympic lifting.
Yep.
So my guess is he probably weighed 275, 280, something mm-hmm. like that. But the biceps work was there. You need the biceps work in Olympic lifting, especially for the snatch. You need that stability in it. And mm-hmm. the reason I bring up that bar that you've got there, Eric,
yep,
is because one of the things that Derniot would do for his barbell and kettlebell juggling show
yep.
is the old John Grimmick barbell tossing and popping movement.
Yep.
And the thing yep. to do it with is that bar that you've got right there, because it's got that rotating sleeve.
Yep.
But it's a standard size bar, and the whole sleeve rotates. And the knurling is not super aggressive, but it's there.
No. And the nice thing about it, too, it's small. If you want to go heavy on that bar, you can, because you can dig your elbows right into your lats with that bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. Hey, look, we got to go. Let's see. We're pressing for time right
yes.
now. Even if we don't finish, we'll take it up. All right. We all know we can hit the biceps more. We've given them a lot of information.
Yep.
Obviously, the standard standing bicep curl to me is still the best. Hits the belly the biggest. Obviously, dumbbells, kettlebells, the whole thing. Let's just try to touch on a few things with the triceps. We've got about we got about 7 minutes here to go with the show. So let's just kind of, even if we go over it lightly, we can pick it up next week, because it would be a great prelude into, we'll start, I guess, from the middle of the back down to your butt crack, where we can hit there. And then, you know, obviously you want to hips, legs, all that. But we'll get into that next week. So what do you think? I mean, triceps, I can tell you, you know, one of the big standards, obviously. I mean, we're going to talk direct. I mean, obviously, Anthony, you put over your head is going to be very tricep driven. But one of the things we know people like to do, and I think it's a very valuable exercise, would be a close grip bench press.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now, obviously, we've talked. I mean, every 12 days, I'm training my arms. I have 4x4 dip bars lagged right into the garage wall, and what I do is I do the standard straight up dip with the elbows into the sides and dip like that, which mash your forearms. Mash them. I'm sorry, not your forearms, your triceps, but they hit everything else too. And then the other thing I've been doing, obviously, is I'm loading a 2-inch handle, straddling it. I'm trying to get it as heavy as I can, because the look of a truck axle really makes you want to really go. You pick this thing up, you power clean it right up over the top of your head, you drop it behind your head, it's going to rest pretty much on your traps. 1, 2, 3 press.
Yep.
Then you got to clean that beast over and slap it back on the ground. Obviously, there's a lot of body movement in that, you know, and I'm a big guy that likes cleans and anything heavy like a dumbbell. Word of caution, though, make sure you have collars that bite right into that bar if you're going to try these. And be very careful, because I can tell you I've hit myself in the head many times with plates. Even if you go with any type of fatigue trying to pull that thing back over and dumping it on the ground, you're going to get abrasions on your skin and things like that. So just be wary of that. So, Raj, I mean, you know, I'm sure you've got some favorites, but that was just a few that I like.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say weighted dips. You got to do weighted dips. There isn't much better than – I always say you actually want big arms, do weighted dips and standing presses and jerks.
Absolutely.
And you're going to get big biceps, brachialis, and triceps. It's going to be there, and they're going to pop, and that's tremendous. It's
water just went down the wrong way. here's the deal. Here's the deal too. I've been doing this for the last 5 mornings. Been going out around 4:30, 5 o'clock. It's still dark, and so I'll turn the lights on in the gym, in the backyard too, because it lights like a football stadium. I've been going out, splashing ice cold water on my face right off the faucet, which will definitely give you a wake up call right now, because it's starting to get cold. Go out there at very little on.
Eric, does it get cold in upstate New York?
Yeah, it's colder in upstate New York than it is in Iceland. I got news for you. So here's the best thing, Raj. I've been kind of doing this little recovery thing. I just been trying it. I put these 3 exercises together, no rhyme, no reason. But I either use a heavy dumbbell swing or a kettlebell swing. Nothing real heavy, nothing over 40 pounds. Might do anywhere from 3 to 5 reps. Then I go to, I've got an old tricep bar. being it's really easy to keep on the side of your leg, I do some, what do you want to call it, side bends. Mm-hmm. Then I go right over to my outside dip bars and do body weight dips and repeat it anywhere from 5 to 10 rounds. I got to tell you, man, it's like it feels like somebody just shoots you full of I don't know what you want to call it. It's like vim and vigor.
Mm-hmm.
You're really ready to take on the day. And the nice thing, I like all three of those movements because I just like, I'll say the word, they're like labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they work so many areas. And I'm not talking I'm getting a big body pump, but when I walk back in or walk from the yard to the garage, my friggin' body, man, feels like it's just a big steel lever. I mean, it's hard to describe. It's like everything on you feels like it's just tight. And I don't mean like this blown up muscle. It's like this, you look at it and it's like, holy shit, you know? And it's like, so I'm not going to say I'm going to be doing it every day, but I got a big workout tomorrow night, you know, in the rack with squats. I'm going to be doing a lot of ISO holds tomorrow night with some big iron. And, you know, I'll come out Thursday morning and do the same thing and see what happens. But that's just another offshoot. But yeah, I love doing tricep work. I mean, I've really gotten into this arm work because especially getting ready to go again to Iceland. I just think now this could be the make or break with me with everything, because I'll tell you right now, if you can't hold it, you're not going to carry it, period. You're not going to clean it either.
I've got two exercises that I
want to
give people before we let them go that they probably haven't thought of before. You can actually see how to do these things if you've got the Frightening Forearms DVD that I did.
Okay.
But these are with tools that almost everybody should have in their gym already, you know, in their home gym. Take a heavy rope, okay?
Yep.
And you can either attach it to a sled or, like I do here at the warehouse gym, I'll take the heavy rope over to the we've got a Mack Vault company in the complex here. Mack Vault makes the manholes for roads.
Yep.
You know, the actual concrete tubes that have ladders on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I'll climb up inside one of them, get on top, and stand on two of them. So they're sitting side by side. They're always out there. They're probably 10, 12 feet tall, something like that. And I will have a rope, and I'll have a couple plates attached to the end of the rope. I'll either, just tie them on, or I'll use a, loading pin kind of thing, carabinered on. And what you do is, I call this raising the bucket out of the well, okay?
Yep.
And it's literally raising those weights up, and you use your whole body, and you can really concentrate on your arms in a way that you can't with anything else, because the rope is not static.
Yep.
It's rope. So you can twist your arms, you can fight it, you can cheat, you can isolate, whatever you want to do. And it's just not like anything else. I typically use a inch and a half diameter rope that I've got that's got a big eye splice in one end.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the one that I use is around 15 feet long because, you know, I've got to start it at the bottom because I'm at, on top of these 10-foot tall things. So, raising it up and then lowering it down, raising it up and lowering it down. And I don't typically do more than about 75 pounds because I'll take two or three plates with me. And I've got to hike them to the other side of the complex to do it. Fantastic. I saw that exercise being done in some video I got from the Shaolin Temple. I don't even remember which one it was, but fantastic. The other exercise, and it's in that same vein, is using a wrist roller. You need a longer wrist roller. I would say, the minimum length for this exercise would be that one, that wooden one that I've got, which is 20 inches, okay?
Yep.
Because what you want to do is, instead of having it straight out in front of you, and it's a little isolation work with your elbows locked, you're doing just the opposite. You are manhandling it and using your entire body. So what you want to do is twist like you're trying to rip off somebody's head.
Right.
And, if you don't have one like that, get a piece of PVC and drill a hole through it and stick a cord in there that's some serious, paracord or something. And that will hold the 50 pounds or so that you're going to do with that exercise, because you can really crank it in there. And that ties in your forearm work. You get back work out of it, but you really get the arm work. Your whole upper arm gets done when you do that, because you're twisting and tearing motion. Yep. It's fantastic. So that's another great finisher. Or if you just want to do your whole workout out there, great. You take those two couple items in a wagon or wheelbarrow, or I will typically use one of our hand carts. And carry some of that stuff out there, use it, 45 minutes, I am toast.
Use it, abuse it. Here's another thing quick, and then we'll sign off. If you want to do some really some nice twisting, get a good magazine, take that thing and twist it to death at the end of your workout. If you do it right, your forearms won't look like they're going to pop. They're so big. So that's just another little tip. I think next week, Raj, we're going to go into some more stuff. I don't feel we're totally done, and then we'll get into mid-back down, okay?
Sounds good.
That would work good. All right, tell everybody, give everybody your information, and I'll give mine, and we'll sign off.
All right, go to AtomicAthletic.com, and it's spelled exactly the way it sounds. Atomic, A-T-O-M-I-C, Athletic, A-T-H-L-E-T-I-C.com. We've got the blog on the upper right of the homepage screen there, and then the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin is on the lower left. You can sign up for that there. I just put in a link to a whole bunch of past bulletins in the blog. So if you've wanted to see what some of these things are all about, the current top little blog posting has a link to 10 or 15 of the bulletins right there. Mm-hmm. So, there we go.
This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, www.fiorellobarbellco.com. This is motivationandmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell and also Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter, Fiorello Eric. We're on all the other stuff, Pinterest, whatever they call it, the whole deal. We're out everywhere. You can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. Thanks to Eric Relu, who does all the web design here. We've got another big piece coming out. And Roger and I will pick up. We're kind of pressed for time today. I overloaded our podcasting today, but we'll get back next week.
Well,
to
tell them who you have on next.
I got David Shaw, famous power lifter. He's coming on. He'll be on in 4 minutes. So, as you can tell, I'm kind of dangling a little bit today, but that's all right. I'm feeling damn good. I can't wait to talk to this gentleman, too, and I hope we can have him as a, you know, I'd like to have him as a recurring guest. We'll see what happens today, how much he likes it. But I've dealt with him quite a bit, and he's a gentleman all the way. Raj, once again, thanks for the show. Sorry it was shortened up, but it was a good show. All right. And, you know, we'll pick up from the neck down next week, and we'll also talk about maybe we'll do another show with we'll talk about York Barbell. That'd be great, because, I mean, that's your expertise, and we can really get into that, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Rod. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll talk to you maybe before that, too. We got a ton of shows to put up. So have a great week, and we'll
thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.